Welcome back to Tahoe Tap. Your local podcasters, Mike Perrin and Rob Galloway, here delivering yet another phenomenal podcast episode. And this one's pretty cool. I think it's going to catch you off guard a little bit. Yeah. Well, we got Cody Bass on the airwaves here. But thank you for choosing us, carving out some time with us as well. As anticipated, always keeping it local with a quick roundup of top news from around the Tahoe region specifically. And then the majority of our show, like I mentioned, it's going to be interesting getting to know Cody Bass, current mayor of City of South Lake Tahoe and founder, owner, executive director of Tahoe Wellness Cooperative, where we get a little bit of insight on their launch of the Consumption Lounge, which includes tapas.
I know.
What was that? I was like, okay. I was like, when is this? And I'm gonna go in there and check that out just for the food. I don't even consume any weed anymore, but yeah, just you say tapas and I'm sort of in. Quick word from our sponsors, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, a voice for Lake Tahoe. For more than 55 years, TRPA has led the collaborative effort to protect and restore this spectacular region. The agency is committed to protecting the lake while advancing affordable housing solutions, improving transportation, and achieving community revitalization and equity. Learn more and help plan Tahoe's future at trpa.gov. All right, Rob, take it away.
Well, Mike, this is going to be the first part in a while where we're not really going to start with the weather, but it's going to be a little weather adjacent because we had a few resorts close out the season this past weekend. Donner, Homewood and North Star, and then we have a handful of others that are going to close this coming weekend. That's Sierra, Diamond Peak, Heavenly, and then the following week on April 28th, you're going to have Royal Gorge, Sugar Bowl, Mount Rose, Kirkwood, and Palisades on the Alpine side. And then there's that Lone Wolf, Palisades Tahoe. That's going to be May 27th. So if you want to get your days in, that's what you have as far as dates closing as of this recording. Are you done for the season, Mike?
Heck no. trick question or something? These are some of my favorite days of the year, going out to Palisades, hitting some of the steep stuff up higher on the mountain and, you know, riding the mashed potatoes, or you just get the silly outfits out, the warmer weather. I mean, I just, before this podcast, set up what we call switch days, right? I'm a skier at heart. But, you know, this weekend, I'm going to go snowboarding with some of the friends and all my snowboarders are going to go skiing. You go have a really good time. But got to remember, because everybody wears these silly outfits and then they forget that they still need to wear their helmet. Often these folks are maybe having an extra beer or two as well because of the warm weather and the atmosphere of it. So still, you know, put the brain bucket on because those opportunities to, you know, have a concussion happen are still high. So that's my public service announcement of the pod.
That's a good one. You know, we've had one big story that's been brewing in South Lake Tahoe, and it surrounds the idea of a vacancy tax. And the idea, which if it gets on the ballot and it gets passed, would be a tax on property that was deemed vacant. And it's $3,000 for the first year and then $6,000 tax in consecutive years. And this issue really has divided the community. And it seems like both sides, gloves are off, ready to duke it out. Anything that you want to add, Mike, that you've seen or heard on this? Because it's quite controversial.
Well, I know that they are extremely close, if not have surpassed this weekend, at getting all the signatures necessary.
Yeah.
You know, it was somewhere in the mid-2000s and they were at 2,100 on the Friday before this pod. So that's sort of scary in how they were pitching it to people as affordable housing. That was really getting some business operators fired up and people in the community, because it was sort of deceptive, I guess you could say. I got approached leaving Rayleigh's and they said, hey, you want to sign up for affordable housing? That was their pitch to get my signature for the vacancy tax initiative. So yeah, that's, you know, not fully transparent by any means.
Yeah, and we'll see how it all shakes out. I think it was April 23rd they have to turn in all of all the signatures and everything. So this topic is not going away unless the signatures don't pan out for any reason, but it's controversial to say the least.
Also, on April 23rd, you just mentioned it, $23 being proposed as the South Lake Tahoe minimum wage, which would make us the highest in the nation. So that is going to be a huge city council meeting next week to pay attention to.
Yeah, that council meeting is going to be chaos, I think.
Yeah. It's hot topics.
I'm going to stay on the topic of housing and really on the Placer County side of the lake, because they announced that they're going to bring back their workforce housing preservation program. And the program, it's designed to help local workers attain housing, and it provides 16% or up to $150,000 of the home's listing price. And that amount doesn't need to be paid back. And the only caveat is that the property needs to stay deed restricted for 55 years so that only qualified local workers can occupy the residence. And the program, it launched back in 2021 and had been on hold for about 8 months. It's led to the purchase of 7 homes by local workers. And I'm not sure the threshold, Mike, of where you deem a program is successful or not, but at least they're being creative with housing, right? I mean, 7 homes, I don't know if that's good or that's bad. I mean, it's better than none, but I don't know where they draw the line as far as being successful with that. But any thoughts there?
Just quantitative numbers, yeah, to give you a grasp on it. Like you said, successful is hard to judge there, but I like seeing the raw numbers for sure.
Yeah. My last item here, the vacancy tag, that was not the only new item that's getting spicy around the lake, because last week, a meeting at Wattell High School on a potential development at Zephyr Cove, potential developments, I should say, at Zephyr Cove and Zephyr Shoals, it got heated to the point where a Douglas County Sheriff's Office captain, he had to step in and try to grab some orders at that meeting. Things started to go a little south there, and the U.S. Forest Service and Aramark, they were looking for feedback for items. They consisted of things like walk-in campsites. There's like 23 or 24 new ones proposed, glamping tents, an event pavilion, picnic area, improved beach accessibility. And the pushback stemmed from the residents just feeling like they are not being heard, and they're raising concerns about code enforcement and traffic and trash, wildlife, environmental concerns, staffing, fire safety. Seems like we have a couple of these every year that, you know, it's just like it's pushback, right? It's like you're not taking care of the stuff that you have. What are you doing here? Any thoughts to that, Mike, before we shut down the news segment here?
Yeah, I think, you know, this one has been tough for me because it seems like they got it pretty well put together. I mean, the plans look like they've been in the works for about 10 years already. And then they you know, get it all the way to the finish line and then ask for input. And of course, people are going to, you know, the NIMBYs are going to say, not here. But have you seen the traffic and everything that happens and all the trash at Zephyr Cove already? Why not put a structure on it and get the Forest Service more involved? I don't know. I'm not against this development. It's already pretty damn developed down there. Yeah. So, yeah, people are really passionate about this one, though, for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's their backyard, right? It's their, like, take care of what you got. I don't know. We'll stay on top of this one, too, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, the next step there, they're going to put a formal plan together and see what comes of it. But I don't anticipate this not happening, right? There's going to be something that happens.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's going to happen, just in what form and with what pushback.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the news roundup here locally in Lake Tahoe. Now for our guest, Cody Bass, which was born into cannabis. And, you know, I want to say the cannabis industry, but he corrected himself when we're talking. You'll hear he says it was more still a movement. It was not an industry at that time. He was literally born into it, but ventured into cultivating cannabis at the age of 18 in the hills of Mendocino, which he provides more detail on. He purchased his first parcel of land at 25 to cultivate the cannabis. And then this property is now licensed with Mendocino County for the legal cultivation for Tahoe Wellness Cooperative. Cody founded TWC in January of 2009 and continues to serve as the executive director. So that's his private business cap. Then we put on his civic servant hat, and he is now Mayor Cody Bass, which was initially elected to city council in November of 2018, then re-elected November 2022 to serve the 4-year term. And in December 2022, he's appointed to serve Mayor Pro Tem and now mayor. And during his 2023 tenure, he also served as the board member for the Tahoe Transportation District, which we talk a little bit about his impact there. PADMA, the LTVA, Lake Tahoe Visitors Authority Board, in addition to other representation like on things like the El Dorado County Transportation Commission, El Dorado County 2x2, Charter City Subcommittee, Multicultural Alliance Subcommittee, Mental Health Subcommittee, Capital Improvement Program Subcommittee, and the South Shore Transit Subcommittee.
He's a busy guy.
So, busy man. So we're happy to have him here on the podcast. Before we tap him in, we got to give a shout out to Tahoe Mountain in making this podcast possible. Escape to the heart of South Lake Tahoe, where adventure meets comfort and every stay is a memory waiting to be made. Welcome to Tahoe Mountain Inn, your cozy mountain retreat nestled amidst the breathtaking Sierra Nevada mountains. Whether you're hitting the slopes for one last time at Heavenly Mountain Resort, embarking on a scenic hike around the Tahoe Rim Trail, or rolling the dice at the casinos, Tahoe Mountain Inn puts you right in the heart of it all when it's time to relax. South Lake Tahoe's newest boutique inn provides a perfect combination of free parking, dog-friendly, no extra resort fees kind of experience you're looking for. TahoeMountainInn.com. Without further ado, let's tap in with Cody Bass. As mentioned, we've got Cody patched into the Tahoe Tap, and thank you for carving out time for us, sir. I'm going to jump right into it for the sake of time. You know, I've had many conversations with you out at events while we're mixing and mingling. Listen to your very candid radio interviews with Howie on KRLT when that was back around, with your Tok Talks on Tuesdays, and also, of course, tuned into city council meetings over the years. And you're a well-versed individual in many facets of life. Tell me about your background education-wise, and what kind of news slash info sources keep you up to date? How does Cody stay on the ball, and where did it all come from?
Right on. Yeah, well, it's good to be here. And, you know, I do. I come from quite a diverse background. And I would say, you know, I was, you know, born in the state of Texas, and I lived there up until 1995. And I actually, you know, only went through the ninth grade of high school and ended up getting my GED when I was 15, and ended up in the town of Running Springs, which is just a little bit outside of Big Bear. And I was in a pretty interesting school where we did a lot of backpacking and a lot of, you know, really kind of like mountain, lived in the mountains, Running Springs at about, I don't know, 5,800 feet. Nothing quite like Tahoe. It's got Lake Arrowhead. But for me, coming out of Texas and really discovering the mountains just kind of changed my trajectory in life and got me into the mountain lifestyle. And when I turned 17, just a couple years after that, I came up to Tahoe and, you know, came here by myself. And man, when I turned that corner on Highway 50 on Echo Summit and saw this lake, I couldn't believe my eyes. And then from there, you know, I've been in Tahoe ever since, as well as really Northern California. You know, started as a snowmaker at Heavenly, and basically worked at Heavenly for six seasons. But in the beginning of really my first year here, we met some folks that were from Mendocino County, which is what really got me into cannabis in my kind of adult age. Going back a little bit, you know, my family is actually been in cannabis since well before I was born. So I come from kind of a family that has been involved in cannabis since, you know, the early days of the cannabis industry, or not even industry, the cannabis movement, I should say. So that's just a little bit of background of kind of where I, you know, where I came from and how I got here. I, you know, since I've been in Tahoe, you know, have done many different things throughout the last 27 years now. It's kind of wild. It's been that many years, but yeah, you know, being here, this is really, you know, the best place on earth, in my opinion. And I feel every day to be here is a blessing. So it's a great, great time of life.
Well, thank you for the insight into your life that we didn't mention there in the bio. It's good to know a little bit of the background. Like we mentioned in the bio, 2009 was the inception of TWC. So how many years were you the only business in the industry up here, and what kept you inspired and confident to carry on through, you know, the federal and state drama, raids, the shit talking, et cetera, you know, I mean, cause it was pretty tumultuous for quite some time there, right?
Definitely. So, you know, we were the first to open when we opened, you know, it was a really kind of interesting time. And it's funny to think right now, 15 years later, and we're still talking about, oh, we think the president's going to maybe legalize, because we had thought exactly the same thing when Obama was elected in 2009. And when we opened, he hadn't quite been inaugurated. It was a few weeks to the inauguration. And we really thought that that was kind of where the cannabis movement, where federal policy was headed. And at the time, I had already, we hadn't opened the dispensary, but I was working on constructing and opening a dispensary in Berkeley on Shattuck Street, which we did later open in 2010 and still open today. But we, you know, at that time, we were focused on Berkeley and we had a dispensary in Sacramento. And when we felt that federal shift happen, at the time I had a partner and we thought, man, we really need to make a footprint throughout California of dispensaries. And so Hot Gossip was just moving out of where the Red Hut is on Ski Run, because they were reconstructing that whole property there. And so Wright's Deli had just moved out of the Bijou Center, and Hot Gossip moved in, and I was in partnership at that time with Hot Gossip. So we went and met the Olson family and talked to them about you know, a dispensary and why cannabis was important. At that time, it was just for medical needs. And so Patty Olson decided that she wanted to see a dispensary. So we took her to Sacramento, and she basically sat and watched how our dispensary operated for an afternoon, and met Jack Herrera, actually happened to be there randomly. And they linked up and talked for like an hour, and we drove back up the hill, and she said that, yes, she wanted us to open the first dispensary. So that's kind of what brought us into getting Tahoe Wellness off the ground. And then just a few weeks after that, two other dispensaries opened, Patient to Patient, which at the time was a guy named Ken Estes, who is a longtime cannabis activist and very well known in the cannabis industry. And he opened Patient to Patient. And then on maybe a week or so after, you had a guy from L.A. open City of Angels, which everybody knew was Gino. And essentially on Obama's inauguration, the day of his inauguration, the DEA raids Patient to Patient Collective here in Southlake. And that created a lot of issues, as you can imagine, throughout the cannabis industry and here in Tahoe. And we had always known, and that's why Tahoe didn't get a dispensary until we did it in 2009, that El Dorado County, as well as Tahoe, was a very difficult place. And also because we're in the Eastern District of the Federal District, which is the courthouse in Sacramento, your jury pool is much more likely to convict on cannabis rather than like the Northern District, where your courthouse is in San Francisco and your jury pool is from that surrounding area. So it created, that's kind of why you did not see a lot of movement here for a long time. And so, as you can imagine, you know, we had only been open a couple of weeks and the DEA is down the street raiding a dispensary. We were a little terrified at the time. So that's kind of where it begins. And for us, you know, we really, in all the dispensaries we've ever operated, have been focused very much on what we call best practices, which are now written into law as regulation. But in the beginning of time, none of those things were written into law. We basically had Prop 215, which was a one-page voter initiative passed by the voters in 96. And we had SB 420, which in 2005, the legislature put a little bit of law, but it was still only about three pages long and did not give really any guidance on operations or regulations or any of those things. Testing, which we were, you know, very early on tested 100% of all of our medicine. And so why we were able to, I think, weather the storm is what I'll put it to, is A, we didn't do anything in a criminal element that we could be prosecuted or a case could be brought forward. And we truly operated with best practices. I mean, we were very regimented about, you know, verifying your medical recommendation, having a valid ID. You could not get into Tahoe Wellness if you did not have the proper things. And we did not bow to that ever. And I mean, took a lot of heat at different times for it, but that is what kept us open and alive today. And then, as you both probably know, the other two operators did not operate in those ways whatsoever. Gino and City of Angels, the way that, and things that they were doing, really put us all at risk, as well as the entire cannabis movement, but especially locally. What a lot of people don't realize, and I think a lot of people think, is that, like, oh, this was this great thing that we were able to be the only operators. It was actually really not good at all. We had a microscope
on. Yep. Yeah.
For years of, you know, people, the city, the state, multiple attempts to try to get rid of cannabis in Tahoe. And after what happened with Gino, you know, they charged a city council member locally with bribery, for taking bribes from him. And then you had Matt from Patient to Patient, because Ken Estes sold Patient to Patient to a guy named Matt. He gets busted, I think, in Missouri with, like, I don't know, 20 pounds and a bunch of money. And then so they shut those guys down, and then they were the only ones open. And the attempt for multiple years, I mean, 4 to 5 years under Nancy Kerry, was to shut down Tahoe Wellness. And I mean, they put a lot of effort. So as many people think, oh, that was just such a great, you know, that must have been awesome. It really wasn't. I've operated dispensaries all over the state. And when you have an alliance of operators to deal with things like the city and the state, is so paramount to being able to successfully, you know, be able to make change. So, man, I think back to those years and all that we went through, and why I would have stayed in it was really because of my passion to create safe access to a medicine that I know people very badly need. And at that time, we were really the only ones providing safe medicine and safe access to it.
Yeah, what an answer right there. I love it. It just took us on a journey to your passion. That was really cool. And very cool insight as to, it wasn't actually awesome to be the only one, the only player in the game. Right. I mean, that was really enlightening there. So thanks for sharing. I'm going to sort of transfer over to the city council side of things. As we mentioned, you are currently serving as mayor, and you sit on a lot of different boards, organizations, committees, and I want to know which one you think provides the most direct impact to South Lake Tahoe locals, right? Because there's, like, the transportation board, where they're looking big picture and 10, 20 years down the road or whatnot. And I want to know which one you think directly impacts South Lake Tahoe locals the most, besides, of course, sitting on the council.
Yeah. So aside from the council, I mean, I would say at our local level, the council directly has kind of the most impact because of our ability to pass ordinances and do things more at a local level. But if you remove the council from that, what I've been very focused on for 5 years is Tahoe Transportation District. And I'm not going to say they've had the most impact, but to me, that is one of the biggest missing links of, providing a good society is transportation, and transit needs to be at the best level it can be. And so what I'll say is that that's where I've seen it needed the most work. And so I'm happy to say that, yeah, it took 5 years, but we are finally moving in a direction to kind of break the transit away for South Shore into its own JPA that is just, you know, El Dorado County in the city. And then we'll be able to localize the service level that's being provided. And then Tahoe Transportation District is still incredibly important for All of the capital projects that we need to implement around the lake. The thing is, the TTD serves all five counties, the city, and both states. And therefore, you know, the district manager has to really, you know, make sure that he's given the equal kind of representation to those five counties and two states. And so the reason of trying to move the transit out of TTD is it really isn't proper for TTD to just have to run transit of one area of the lake. So really, that's been my biggest passion. And I do think as we, not my biggest passion, but my biggest passion on these other boards that I sit on is to get TTD really at a functional, high level place and get our local transit services, you know, to be controlled by just the city and the county. That's where they're being provided. You know, we were having like board meetings and talking about bus stops in Myers, and the Washoe County supervisor doesn't even know the street in Myers we're talking about. And that's because that's why. And so that's why it just kind of shows you why we don't want TTD to necessarily deliver transit just for one area of the lake. That's why Placer County delivers TART for its area. It's anywhere you look, El Dorado Transit on the West Slope, same thing. So we're making those moves, and that's, I think, will really help Tahoe. I mean, on the South Shore, I think everybody knows we have a major lack of transit service, and we need to get a reliable level of service like every ski town in the world. And I really think that'll help a lot of things. So that's been, that's I'd say be where I'm most focused. I did recently take on the TRPA, which has been a big learning curve. There's a lot there. But I also believe that, you know, TRPA, you know, is incredibly important, but also probably needs to, you know, like anything, it needs to kind of come into some different new times.
All right. Well, thank you for the insight there as well. I'm going to switch it over to some more, you know, fun stuff just regarding Cody himself with our rapid fire questions. We've got about 10 here, and these are going to be your first reactions to a sort of this or that style firing of questions. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
All right. Summer or winter?
Oof. Summer these days. Yep.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
I love some of the like definitiveness for some people on some of these. Book or movie?
Movie.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Okay. Instagram or Facebook?
Facebook.
Okay. Camping or an all-inclusive?
Camping.
All right. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Yeah, that goes with the previous answer there. Comedy club or a music concert?
Music concert.
All right. Yeah, I've seen you at a few of those. We're having fun together. And then favorite local restaurant you've tried recently? Or maybe it's one of, if you're a creature of habit and you just can't get away from it.
Cafe Fiore always.
Ooh, yeah, all right. Well, that is the extent of my answers. Rob's been sitting, waiting patiently to fire some questions over your way, so I'll turn it over.
Yeah, thanks, Cody. I'm going to bounce back and forth between TWC and your role as on the council, Cody, but I'm going to start out with back in February, South Lake Tahoe City Council, they passed the ordinance that allow cannabis lounges to be present in South Lake Tahoe. Tahoe Wellness Center is preparing to be, or your soft launch, to be the first to open in the region. So I want to know what went into the planning and what do you think it means for the city and the Tahoe Basin as a whole?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're definitely excited for it. You know, this is actually, and I know it's always says as the first, but we, Tahoe Wellness, we did have consumption from 2009 all the way until 2019. And why we had to stop is we got an inspection from the state Department of Cannabis Control, and they basically said, look, consumption's not illegal by state law, but if you're going to do it, you've got to separate the two spaces. You can't have the dispensary and the consumption lounge in one space. And so that's a big reason as to what guided our recent remodel was to create those two spaces. And a big part of that is because nobody that's under the age of 21 is allowed in the consumption side. But we do have people that are medical patients, and quite a few of them that are under 21. So anyways, just a kind of background as far as why we had to separate those spaces. But this is going to be a completely new, I'll call it new style or new way of consumption compared to what we had for those first 10 years. And really the way that I'm seeing it is it's really moving it into more of a hospitality element than rather just kind of like a smoker's den. We're really going to have like table service where you can sit down at a table, get a beverage. We'll bring you what you need to consume, whether that's a bong, a pipe, papers, you need help rolling a joint or something like that. We can assist you like that. But it's really meant to create a level of hospitality where you can come in with a friend, sit at a table, have a drink, non-alcoholic, of course, and enjoy cannabis. And what we know is that it provides really great benefits to the community. You know, the fact that people don't have necessarily a legal place to consume, without a doubt, drives them into places, well, that are illegal, like our public beaches or places where we don't want them consuming or smoking in a car. So this really provides a place that is away from anybody that's going to be offended, away from the youth, where it's ventilated and taken care of in the right way. So we, you know, we have a lot of different protocols that we will, you know, adhere to throughout our operation that, you know, essentially ensure the safetiness for the what's happening on site. And then we really do, like it is with alcohol, you know, an adult has to use their judgment to not become impaired to a level that they cannot, you know, either ride a bike, operate a vehicle, whatever that is. And that's the same that we operate with alcohol. The difference is that generally with alcohol, you know, there is a one beer limit. With cannabis, people's tolerances are different. And so that's where I say people really have to know themselves. And what we will tell everybody is that you should never consume cannabis and operate a vehicle. And we will definitely get you a lake link, or get you what you need to get home. But the bottom line and the way that it works in the law is that it's just the same as alcohol. You're responsible for being too impaired. If you consume something and get behind the vehicle, you're very likely to be caught driving under the influence if you were to be caught by law enforcement. So we, as far as like the protocols, there aren't tests that, like there are for alcohol, there are not tests for cannabis to show a level of impairment. So it's not that isn't part of our protocol is to test anybody. But again, we did this for the first 10 years of Tahoe Wellness's existence. We never had one single incident. We, in fact, have even had the PD drop people at the consumption lounge because they couldn't take them anywhere and there was no room in the jail, but if they could just come and smoke, they would be all right. And we've gladly accepted those people throughout time. So there's very real benefit, in my opinion, to allowing this in any town.
Sure, sure. Can you walk me through your, I mean, we have, you know, 420 coming up and it's always a big day, especially for dispensaries. Can you talk me through your plans, how what you're doing for that event and how you're integrating that into, you know, the soft launch of the consumption lounge?
Yeah, absolutely. So 420, of course, is a huge day. We have a ton of different specials. This year, we did not do our Cannabis Cup or really like an outdoor event. Hopefully, we will bring that back in the future. But our main focus really has been the consumption lounge and trying to get that off the ground. But we are doing it as somewhat of a soft opening. 420 will be open all day for sure. But as far as why I'm calling it a soft opening is because we really plan to bring a full espresso bar and somewhat similar to like mocktails. We are going to be able to open with a few of them, but we're not going to have our entire menu. But you'll be able to get different mocktails that you can add cannabis infusion to. And then eventually our real, phase two is what I'm calling it, will be integrating food. So we'll have tapas and little bites of food that are non-medicated, but that you're able to come in and have bites of food with the consumption lounge. But for 420, it's really going to be just a great day. We'll have live DJs. a good little spread of food, and you'll be able to smoke. And like, why we're again calling it the soft opening is we're just not opening with all of the menu items that we'd really like to have, or that we will have when we get into our full opening, which we believe will probably be somewhere around the beginning of June.
Oh, okay. And you've been somebody that's been in and out of the news for a variety of different reasons. And, you know, there's some controversial opinions out there to you as mayor, but walk me through your decision to run again on council for your current term. Because when I talked to you towards the end of your first term on city council, you weren't sure you were going to run again at that time.
Yeah. You know, I kind of had to talk myself back into it, which was, you know, not, I've really, you know, learned a lot and enjoyed serving on council. There's a lot of things that I think the first 4 years that we were there that we really, you know, turned the page on. And I felt that the staff that has come into the city is really at the top, most top-notch level that I've ever seen it in the 25, 27 years I've been here. So it, when I thought about walking away from it and some of the things that I was walking away from, such as this JPA I just spoke at about, and also some of the other initiatives that I'd really like to see us get at least on the map, such as like a gondola to help move people through the town. There are things that I think are really important for us to continue forward. And when you walk away after 4 years, a lot of that just can kind of fall off of the plate. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while to talk myself back into it, because as you know, within the world of cannabis, there is massive, you know, expansion happening. New York is coming online. Texas is probably next to come online. We have a lot of things happening, not only nationally, but internationally with cannabis. And so being on council pulls me away from being able to take on a lot of those things. And that's why I was considering not doing it. But as I said in the beginning of this podcast, like Tahoe is the best place in the world, and it's my community. And there was a lot of people that really were wanting me to stay in it. And so I decided to do it again. And when I did it, I said, you know what, if I have been here for 4 years, I will not take a penny or even do anything other than, you know, spend the money to get on the ballot, which is, I don't know, $600 or $700, which I use my own money. And I'll go to the debates, but I'm not even going to do a website. I'm not going to even do a campaign whatsoever. And so that's what I did. I didn't spend a penny to get reelected. And I was reelected. And so that's, you know, because I believe that what we have been able to do, people pay attention. And I think that, you know, if they were going to reelect me without having a campaign, then I probably needed to stay around. So that's kind of why I did it.
Well, I'm going to stick with city council here, because 2024 is a big year for the council. There really is no shortage of important items on every single burner on the stove. But I want to know from you, like, what do you think is going to be the most challenging to navigate this year?
I mean, there are a lot of, like you said, there are so many different really, really important issues. I think, you know, one of the big things that we are struggling with a lot right now is with the housing issues that we definitely have, and really trying to understand that or get a pulse to where it is. And if, you know, without having the pulse, it's difficult to know what effect we're making. It's also really difficult to plan to make an effect for the future, because, you know, we've heard these numbers that we're 3,000 housing units short. Then we have a wait list in the city that's at 900 people. What is the number of housing units that we really need to deliver? Mm-hmm. And because the reason for that, that I think that is so incredibly important, is because, as we know, police, fire, roads, those are kind of our core services. And then we have underneath that a whole slew of things, parks and rec and transit that we've recently begun to contribute to, housing. Those things are kind of not secondary, but in a way they are. And when we are right now saying, look, housing is number one, which I agree, it is. We need to make sure housing and that our workforce has a place to live. But we're cutting the opportunity to invest in parks and rec and to invest in transit. So really having the pulse on the housing problem, I would say, is one of the biggest challenges for our staff right now, because that's really, again, what what guides us to fixing the problem is knowing what the problem is.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and Cody, I'll kind of wind this down a little bit. And unfortunately, your Tahoe Tap visit, this isn't your first podcast appearance. You were actually a visitor earlier this year on the Great Moments in Weed History podcast, and they referred to you as the outlaw weed mayor of Lake Tahoe. And maybe there's a little truth to that, but I know many people don't know you personally, but they still have strong opinions about you regardless. And I'm curious, maybe what's one thing that you can share to get people to understand you, you know, whether your personality, your approach to the community, and maybe just give them a chance to understand you a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. One way is to listen to that podcast. That really does. I didn't when I took that pod or did the podcast, like I didn't think we were going to dive into my entire life, but we do. So if anybody wants to know, that's a good way to find out. But really, man, I'm a very, very easygoing person and really believe in being fair and doing what's right. That's how I've gotten where I am. And I believe in that's the way to do everything is do what you know is right. And really that's, at the core of what I believe. Why I would be called an outlaw is because I have, had to come up and against the law through decades of fighting in the cannabis movement, and have been attempted to be prosecuted by the federal government, the state governments. I mean, so that's why I'm considered an outlaw. I've never had any element of, violent crime or anything of that nature. I've never even held a gun in California because of the mandatory minimums that can be pinned to you with cannabis and having a weapon. So I've never even owned a gun in the state of California. I'm very pretty passive and easygoing person for the most part, but I'm very passionate. And if I care about something, I don't give up on it. And I see it through to the end.
Well, Cody, I appreciate your time. I know Mike and I both appreciate your time here. Give you a chance if there's anything else you want to add before we duck on out.
No, man, I just appreciate you guys. And we're all blessed to be in Tahoe. It's beautiful springtime, man. This is my favorite time of year. The days are getting longer. It just couldn't be better.
Absolutely. Well, again, Cody Bass, we appreciate your time here. And for Rob Galloway and Mike Perrin, this is the Tahoe Tap Podcast, and we appreciate you listening and tune in for next time.